What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of Nerds Talk Movies. I'm your host, Tristan Benz. That's right, Tristan's in charge today. Taylor, he got attacked by a flock of seagulls. Had to take a week off, so, you know, here I am, picking up the slack. And today, I'm joined by my old friend, Drew Garrison. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's good to hear. That's good. We love it when we're doing great and we're here to talk about a great movie, you know? Because so often it seems like we're here to talk about a pretty mid-movie. But you know what? Shockingly, today's discussion, I feel like, at least from my perspective, is going to be pretty positive. Because today, we're doing a spoiler talk for Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah is right, Drew. Oh yeah is right. You know, normally we do the how we got there or how we got here and everything, but here's the thing. I'm in charge this week, and I'm reasonably sure anybody who's clicking on our spoiler talk for Sonic the Hedgehog 2 has been keeping up with the news surrounding Sonic the Hedgehog 2, you know? So I'm not going to waste time with that because I'm champing at the bit to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I got a lot of thoughts. I'm very excited, and I want to get right into it. But first, before we dive in, we got to talk about, you know, our past experience with the Sonic franchise. So before we get into the movie, we know that the Sonic franchise is hugely popular, obviously, despite having so many bad games. And there's a lot of lore in the series, a lot of it good, a lot of it bad. But just in general, Drew, what would you say your knowledge level of the Sonic franchise is? Are you a hardcore fan? You a casual fan? You don't give a shit about Sonic? What's your relationship to the Sonic franchise?
Hardcore fan, definitely. I know all of the video games. I don't know all of the Archie comics because that is a whole mess to get into. And
it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's like you think Marvel and DC is complicated. Nah, Sonic beats them both.
Yeah, I was about to say, at least with Marvel and DC, you know, you can skate by if you've got your little, you know, DC or Marvel encyclopedias, but with Sonic the Hedgehog, it's like, is this in the continuity with the games? Is it its own thing? Is it all the cartoons in it? Like, what is it?
It's everything, but I can definitely say I'm a hardcore fan. I bought all of the Sonic games, even the ones that were like did some weird stuff, like Sonic and the Black Knight. I actually really like that game. And Sonic and the Secret Rings, not the best control scheme, but God, the soundtrack was dope.
See, I feel like you can say that specific sentence about a lot of Sonic games.
True that. Sonic has never really gotten, like, its music has always been amazing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm as hardcore a Sonic fan as you. I definitely played a lot of the Sonic games growing up, and some of them are my favorite games. But I'm not about to get a Sonic tattoo or anything. But I know more probably than the average hedgehog, we'll say. But the soundtracks are always bussin', respectfully. Earlier today, I was just listening or watching the opening theme from Sonic Heroes. You know, what a tune. Now
that was a banger.
Here's the important question, Drew. You know, casual fan, hardcore fan, whatever kind of fan you are, what is your favorite Sonic game?
Ooh, see, that's tough because Sonic Heroes, you get to play as a multitude of different characters.
You get to play as all of them. You get them all in there.
Yeah, you get them all in there. But then again, Sonic Unleashed and Sonic Colors both had some of the best fast-paced action stages you could ask for. It's like, it's so hard to pick a favorite Sonic game for me, but if I had to put one down, I think I would put Sonic Unleashed. I just love the challenge of the game, and it's like, I was not offended by the Werehog stages, but it's like, I'm mostly in it for the daytime stages, because that made you feel like Sonic. You were defying gravity with nothing but speed alone.
Oh, man. It was incredible. But I'm sorry to say, Drew, that's the wrong answer. The right answer, as every real Sonic fan knows, is Shadow the Hedgehog. Best Sonic game.
Oh, yeah, because why, when you can break the speed of sound in your sneakers, you get on a freaking motorcycle.
I don't need to break the speed of sound. I just need to fucking break some necks and break a cap off in some alien asses with Shadow the Hedgehog and an RPG. But no, in all seriousness, Sonic Unleashed, I never beat it because it was on the Wii, and my patience for the Wii ran out much sooner than the rest of society's. I enjoyed, like you said, the daytime Sonic levels when you're actually being Sonic the Hedgehog, but all the Werehog stuff, I'm like, I did not get a Sonic game so that I could turn into a Werehog. I don't even know how that works. I'm still not clear on the lore behind that. That's something we can get into off air. I don't understand how we... ooh, excuse me. I don't understand how we transform. I don't know what the Chaos Emeralds have to do with that, you know, but that's not...
Oh, important. It's actually a very simple answer, actually.
What's the answer, then?
So, Dark Gaia tries to take over Sonic, and Light Gaia, which is revealed to be Chip, protected his mind. And apparently Sonic also has a pure of heart, so that helped too.
All right, you just said three names that I don't recognize, but you know what? We're just going to breeze right past it, like Sonic the Hedgehog. In all seriousness, though, I would say underrated Sonic game. Well, underrated by the world at large. Maybe not specifically our generation, because every time I mention this game to someone, they're like, oh, fuck yeah. Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. I know a lot of people don't like it.
I love that game.
But that game is fire. City Escape. I once signed a petition to have the song City Escape changed to our national anthem. I would sign it again right now. If someone put out another petition for getting the song from City Escape to be our national anthem, I would sign it in a heartbeat. That's great. You gotta follow your rainbow.
Same here. And I don't know why people don't like it. It's like it was a really great design game. And it, like, I don't know what happened, because originally it was a bestseller and everything, and then suddenly it's like the fans turned against it, and I was like, but why?
It's because...
It was great!
That's because people don't like fun, Drew. But you know what people do like? Sonic the Hedgehog 2, in theaters now. I can't wait. I can't wait to talk about this movie in more detail, but first... I'm the host, so I want to let you go first. What did you think about Sonic the Hedgehog 2?
I think this was fun put into a movie. It's like if you were, whether you're a Sonic fan or not, there is something for you in this movie. And there's only like one part I think I can say like just could do without, but otherwise, I think this whole movie is just great. It's a perfect thing for the whole family. And if you're a Sonic fan, it makes you like just say, yeah, that's great.
I said, yeah, that's great. Not verbally, but to myself in my head, multiple times. I think the overall energy that this film brought, I really appreciate it. It did feel more like a Sonic movie. Now, I enjoyed the first one quite a lot, more than I expected to, but it was very much like, oh, okay, so this is just a kid's movie, and it's, you know, it's got Sonic the Hedgehog in it, but it's like, he's on Earth, you know, he's in, sure, Green Hills, but like, you know, the only other real Sonic character is Dr. Robotnik, and it's mostly just Jim Carrey. It's barely, the Robotnik character. But it, I mean, it's still...
Well, he has had a lot of changes over the years.
Yeah, and he's had a lot of changes over the years, but it's at least just from a visual aesthetic standpoint, it's like, oh, okay, like, they are... It was a more grounded sort of Robotnik than we were used to seeing, you know, until we get to the end where it's like, oh, okay, he's at least visually the Eggman we recognize, at least in terms of, you know, the ridiculous mustache and the bald head. But, you know, that being said, it was still an enjoyable movie and far better than, you know, I think what we typically get from video game movies. So I was definitely looking forward to seeing, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, especially when it's like, okay, we're bringing in Tails. That's dope. And then, you know, however many months before it starts production, it's like, oh, guess what? Idris Elba's voicing Knuckles. You're like, let's fucking go. It's like, let's fucking go. It's like, I don't know how he's going to do it, but Idris Elba can do anything. So I'm here for it. And boy, did he deliver. This whole movie, it was just a lot of fun. It was just, I mean, that's really, it's what you said. It felt like fun boiled down into a movie. Is it like necessarily the best pacing? Not really. Is it highbrow comedy that, you know, everyone can appreciate? No, but like,
not really.
If you're a Sonic fan, you're going to get a lot out of this movie. If you're someone who just has kids and you're like, hey, we need to, you know, we can safely afford to spend, you know, 2 hours in a theater, you know, just to occupy the kids, then, you know, you'll get something entertaining out of this too. It really is just a genuinely fun time. And also, I want to say, they really stepped up the action in this one. I mean, there's definitely more opportunities for them to have dynamic action, seeing as how it's more than just Sonic having superpowers in this one, you know? But, like, even just the way they choreograph, you know, certain characters all together, it's really fantastic. So before we dive any deeper, this is a spoiler talk, okay? We're going to be going full spoilers, everyone. I'm sure you can read if you clicked on this, but we're about to go full spoilers. We kept our thoughts general so far, but if you don't want to hear any spoilers, all right, you get the hell out of here. Go on. Go see the movie, then come back to us, all right?
You'll enjoy it. Go.
You'll enjoy it. Get out of here. Come on.
There's a two-tailed fox and an echidna that can punch stone.
There's a space echidna in there. What are you still doing listening to us? Okay. So now we can talk spoilers. We can talk spoilers. Awesome. We've given everyone our warning. I was so fucking jacked when all three of them were together. You knew what was going to happen. Like, you knew, it's barely a spoiler. It was like, you knew, it was like, okay, sure. Knuckles is going to work with Robotnik from the beginning. And he's going to realize Sonic is a good guy. And then they're all going
to
be
friends. It's like, callback to Sonic 3.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, we know what's going to happen, but man, was it gratifying to see.
Oh, yeah. And, oh my God, I really loved Idris Elba as Knuckles. He was practically the highlight of the movie for me. It's like, I don't know how he was able to, like, do all those lines and make it feel like it was both Idris Elba, but also a unique character. But he did it.
He really did. He brought a intensity to the role that, I mean, you should expect in general, I guess, when it's Idris Elba. But it's also like, okay, it's Knuckles. Like, yeah, he's like the toughest of the group, but it's like, you don't normally expect him to be like this brooding almost sort of character. It's like, oh, he's like haunted by his past or whatever. He's really got a vendetta. It's like, oh no. It's like, oh shit. Like, it's just Elba being Knuckles, and like, damn, he's making me feel something right now, you know? It was...
And I didn't expect that. I thought they were going to go full villain when the first movie showed the Echidna tribe killing Sonic's mom.
Yeah, but no, there were shades of gray in this amongst the blue, yellow, and red. But before we go too deep in the, you know, in getting super duper excited about Sonic and Knuckles, and also Tails, who we will definitely talk more about later. First, let's talk about how are we feeling about this dynamic with Sonic and the family. Like, well, Sonic and Tom and Maddie, Tom's wife.
Personally, I feel like it's a good holdover from the first movie. Mm-hmm. Kind of expect him to like grow out of it by this one, because you know Sonic is normally, it's like Sonic's not exactly a loner, but he's a guy who barely anyone can keep up with him.
Yeah.
So he's like, he catches up with his friends when he sees them again than anything else.
I mean, how many Sonic games do we have where it's like Tails literally is trying to catch up with Sonic and he's just running around, and then Tails flies up like, hey, it's me on my plane. Sonic, there you are. It's like, yeah, he's...
I also gotta laugh that it's Tails' plane now, because originally that was Sonic's plane because he hated water. And ever since he got the ability to run on water, he's like, okay, Tails, it's all yours.
I mean, which, you know, you would think, hey, why do we need to give the character who can fly a plane? But it's because Tails is smart. And his tails get tired, you know? It's like, you get tired of jogging, you know? He does machines. He can turn it into, like, a little transformer or whatever, like in Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, the best Sonic game. but yeah, no, I also thought it was a pretty solid holdover from the first movie. I know in watching the first film, it's very much like, oh, okay, like, by the end, it's like, yeah, they take him in, but it's almost like, okay, so he's just gonna be, like, their cool roommate. Like, not all the way a pet, because he's a sentient being, but it's like, okay, he's just, like, kind of their, you know, cool, like, you know, neighbor or whatever who lives in the basement. Like, she's like, okay, he hangs out with us, because he's got nowhere else to go. So, yeah, he'll live in the attic, like, whatever. Was not expecting them to lean, like, full into, like, oh, he's our, like, adopted kid angle. It felt like
I
mean, I don't know. It felt, in certain parts, it felt like, okay, like, at the end, when Sonic calls him dad, it's like, all right, that feels like a little bit of a jump, like, it's sweet, so yeah. I'll allow it, but it's like, that seems like a little bit of an escalation, because this whole time, it seems like you guys have just been like, oh, yeah, he says at the beginning, you're not my dad, you're supposed to be my friend. It's like, oh, okay, so that's the vibe? All right, great. And then during the big climax, they're like, let's go get our kid. It was like, oh, okay, that's where we're at? All right, you know, shit, sure, go ahead, I guess.
Well, They had to have the big family moment.
I mean, for Super Sonic. I mean, it worked. It worked for me. Yeah. It was just, I don't know. It felt, it didn't necessarily take me by surprise, but it just felt faster than I was expecting, which, you know, it's Sonic. So
yeah, agreed. That tracks. The thing that got me with it was that dad functionality, because I kind of did expect Sonic to be more like his little brother than anything else.
Yeah.
It's kind of there because Sonic is immature in both movies, and he has to, like,
well, for sure,
this is the
yeah.
movie where he's mature. So, how, like, a bit matures.
How old do we think Sonic is? Or, like, approximately?
I thought he was his age, like, when the games were started, so I thought he was around, like, 15.
Okay.
Maybe 16.
Okay, see, because in my head, I've been thinking, like, Sonic is around 13 or 14 ish, to at least just based on this movie and how I'm just explaining the character's relationship in my head. I feel like Sonic's around 13, 14 ish. Tails is definitely like around 11, like somewhere in that ballpark. And then Knuckles, I was like, oh, Knuckles is like 16, or like,
he has to be the oldest.
Yeah, he has to be the oldest, because even in the flashback to like when the echidnas are going off to war with Longclaw or whoever, like, we get the dual flashbacks. If we see little baby Sonic, little teeny tiny little toddler, pretty much.
He's adorable.
Adorable. Cute as shit. Knuckles, also cute as shit, but clearly already like 5 or 6. Like, Knuckles is like standing tall as a child. Like, he's carrying a spear. Like, I'm going to go fuck up this owl. And his dad's like, no, you're a child. Like, you have to stay here.
Yeah. Gotta give it to Longclaw, though. It's like, she faced out an army and took them all with her.
Yeah, that was also my question, because I also interpreted as, oh, Longclaw killed all of the echidna, like, herself? That's hard as fuck. Because didn't they establish in the first movie, like, she was the last one, like, the last owl or whatever? Or am I making that up?
Yeah. I think it's heavily implied that she's the last owl. I don't think they state it outright because Sonic doesn't know.
Yeah.
But in this movie, it's pretty much established. The both of them are dead.
Yeah, right? So it seems like she was just a badass motherfucker and wiped out an entire race, you know? I mean, is it self-defense? Is it genocide? Who's to say? You know, they started
this is the Monk Gyatso from Avatar thing. It's like, you came after me, no holds bar.
Sure, yeah. They came at her, and she put them down and sent Knuckles down a path of vengeance. Which, speaking on Knuckles' little path of vengeance, at the beginning of the movie, when he first appears, you know, on the Mushroom Planet with Eggman, like, oh, where did you get that? Who were those soldiers Knuckles was with?
I am so glad that you asked, because I have no idea either.
That never was like, is addressed.
Yeah, I thought it was like when Tails mentioned him, I thought, oh, Knuckles must have like an army.
Yeah,
of
or like a reputation or something. Like,
yeah.
But where they were humanoid, like, it seems like they were dudes in helmets or masks or whatever. Yeah. So, like,
are they aliens?
Are they aliens? Are they bird people and they were just cheap with the CGI? So, like, let's just put people in masks or whatever and call it, because they're definitely not echidna.
Yeah, not echidna. And no alien from the OG Sonic franchise I know is like humanoid. All of them resemble animals. So
yeah, so except for the
Shadow the Hedgehog Black Comet.
I hope we get a Shadow the Hedgehog spinoff movie based on that game, but we'll save that for later when we're talking about the after credit scene. But yeah, no, I thought that part was like, okay, just gonna introduce those people, never bring them back in, but you know, that's fine. Do we have anything else we want to say about the fun little family dynamic before we move on?
So just because she is technically the aunt, I really could have done without the sister and her wedding and stuff.
Okay, well, I got some thoughts on the B plot. We'll get to that. It's in the
okay. Yeah. I'll save it.
Okay. All right. So we touched on it a little bit in talking about Knuckles' introduction, but Eggman's return to Earth and just his return, his character in general in this movie really fucking cracked me up. Like, it's at this point, it doesn't even feel, it's just Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey. Like,
yeah.
Jim Carrey to the max. Like, more 90s Jim Carrey than even Sonic the Hedgehog 1 Jim Carrey was. And I, for what it's worth, enjoyed it. Like, I'm like, okay, so this, again, a different Eggman than we're used to seeing, but he's making me laugh, you know, every time he's on screen. Mm-hmm. So I'm not angry at it, you know. No, go ahead.
It's like I laugh at him, but it's like he's also has a bit of an edge to him, because you know, like, oh, he does not care. He just wants to show that not only is he the smartest, but he's gonna like prove it to the entire universe. That's his whole deal. So it's like I have a bit of a like, okay, I'm a little bit freaked out by you. You're kind of like the Joker a little bit.
A little bit. It is. You know, it's funny you say that. He's like the Joker because, you know, everyone's always like, oh, the Joker's an agent of chaos. Meanwhile, Eggman's literally all like, chaos is mine, using the Master Emerald to build the giant death egg. And
Not even think about that, but yeah, you're right.
I mean, hey, you know, that's why they pay me the big bucks. I've got this mastermind, similar to Eggman. Also, can we just acknowledge that he and Agent Stone are totally boyfriends?
Yes.
I'm here for it.
Like, it's right there. The dude literally made a coffee.
He made a coffee with a little heart on it. Like, it was adorable. It was fantastic. I'm like, you know what? Let's just, come on, guys. Let's just let them be together. Like, Agent Stone clearly is dying for that affection. But Eggman in general, he cries every time. It's dumb, but every time he referred to himself as daddy, I don't know why. It really got a tickle at me. When he and Knuckles are running through the labyrinth, and he's like, make room for daddy, and like he tries to slide underneath the falling door. I'm like, all right, that's a dumb joke. It's a very like lowest common denominator joke, but I'm not afraid to admit that it got me. It tickled me.
I feel like it's just because Jim Carrey's the one saying it. It's like, yeah, normally, for sure. You don't know what to expect from this guy, and now it is like after so long with him, it's like you kind of have some idea of what he's gonna say, but then he just comes out and it's like, oh no, I'm still really random.
Yeah,
so it just works for him.
And also, I'll give I'll say this about his performance. Like, obviously Jim Carrey's always been a very like dynamic and energetic performer in anything he's in, so it's definitely a testament to the fact that, like, you know, he's more animated than these animated characters that we've seen. I heard someone mentioned that on a podcast. I think it was on the Kind of Funny screencast review of this. But like in this movie, this Sonic the Hedgehog movie with an animated Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles, Jim Carrey as Eggman is by far the most animated character in this movie. And it's not a competition, just in terms of the energy he brings and his overall performance and his movements, even his dialogue to a certain extent.
Yeah, it really is just down to Jim really loving to move in his performances.
Yeah.
And he incorporates that into Eggman's body language, how he acts, how he treats others. It's all there. It's like he really takes to this role really well.
He really does. I noticed they cut back on his whole like robot bit or whatever that he did in the first movie. You pick up on that? I guess people weren't a fan of that. He only did it, like, I want to say once or twice. Like, it seemed like he only really did it when he and Knuckles first show up to Sonic's house and start beating the shit out of him. Like, I think he did it one time there.
In the mountains.
That. Yeah, oh yeah, he did it once in the mountains too. But other than that, like, it's weird that they, like, I don't know, scaled back on that aspect of the character's wackiness, but then pushed everything else, like, to the nth degree. You know,
I thought that was to keep into like the world building, because it's like, oh, I've been gone. I haven't been able to resupply on all the stuff that Sonic broke, because I literally had a freaking army sent after him.
Oh no, I meant in terms of like I mean, yeah, like with his machines. I mean, him acting like a robot, like doing the zzz, 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 like just him physically doing the robot and everything.
Oh yeah, I did kind of forget about that a little bit, mostly because I think he stops doing it halfway in the movie.
And the first one he did it, like, I feel like up until like even the climax, like that was a, because I remember people being like, that's weird that he keeps doing that, but all right. But then in this one, like, he only does it a couple times. It's like, oh, okay, like I guess he's just, that time on the mushroom planet really made him more into mushrooms than robots, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's the mushrooms.
It's the mushrooms, man. You need that mushroom coffee. So
You need that mushroom coffee in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Well, isn't that that's a different franchise, Drew? We can't be crossing this Nintendo. We're gonna be starting a war here.
That the Mushroom Planet was not a Mario.
I don't know.
It even has the red and white.
This is rampant mushroom. Speculation on Drew's part. This is rampant speculation. We can't say for sure. That being said, you know, the Mario movie starring Chris Pratt. It's got an uphill battle if it wants to be better than the Sonic movie so far. Will it be better? I'm going to say no by virtue of the fact that I'm pretty sure Chris Pratt isn't even going to do an Italian voice. So, you know.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't... That cast is like a fever dream. But that's not the video game movie we're here to talk about. I mean, speaking of fever dream castings, let's talk a little bit more about Idris Elba's Knuckles. Because... wouldn't have expected that to work, but boy did it work. It's like you said, he's one of the standouts of this movie, him and Tails. Colleen O'Shaughnessy did fantastic as Tails, as she always does, because she is the voice of Tails. But I really liked how not necessarily naive they made Knuckles. I mean, well, I guess it's naive. They made him feel innocent while also feeling threatening. Yeah. Just in terms of him, you know, not understanding Earth culture, not understanding that Robotnik's, like, you know, using him. And he's like, oh, you're being dishonorable. Like, why are you doing this? I thought we were friends. And he's like, oh, I don't have friends.
Yeah, the friends bit caught me off guard a little bit, but it's like, I kind of can see it, because it's like, his whole thing is like honor. And it's like, you respect your mission and who mm-hmm. is on your mission with you. So, it's
yeah,
like, I can see it.
Yeah, for sure. And when that time comes, when clearly Knuckles is no longer being respected and he's literally left to die, and Sonic saves him, you know what's about to happen. You're like, oh, okay, Sonic's going to overcome his fear of water and drowning, which is, you know, a fun callback to the game. Yeah. And he's going to save him, and it's going to be a good moment, and he does it. They do the count, you know, they lift up, Knuckles swims away, and it's like, oh no, Sonic's about to black out, and you're like, oh, come on, I'm waiting to see it. And you see that big fucking gloved, knuckled hand just grab Sonic, and you're like, hell yeah, bro. Like, this is what it's all about. This is what I'm here for. They had a great scene on the beach where, you know, Sonic relays that lesson about being a hero, and you're like, all right, Sonic, I see you now, boy. Like, this is the Sonic that we're here to see. Ben Schwartz, by the way, still killing it at Sonic. Still did a fantastic job. We've been so busy talking about everyone else's new performances that we neglected to mention Ben Schwartz is still just slaying the game as Sonic.
He is amazing. I kind of wish he was the voice of the video game Sonic, because the video game Sonic, I feel like they went too far into, like, his voice doesn't feel like it's a progression of his true voice. Mm-hmm. While this one feels like, yeah, you can see Jason Griffin's voice evolving into this through maturity.
Yeah.
The other voice, nah.
And no disrespect to Roger Craig Smith, like, great voice actor, clearly. But yeah, I'll agree, especially in recent performances. Like, okay, I don't know. It's a bit gravelier than I would expect for Sonic. I mean, he sounds a bit older than I expect, which, you know, in general, I think we're all kind of unclear in the games, at least, like, how old Sonic is supposed to be now. But every time I hear Roger Craig Smith as Sonic, and I think he's the last time I watched or played any Sonic thing that wasn't the movie, Roger Craig Smith was the voice. So if someone else has taken over, please correct me in the comments, or Drew, if you know. No, I think Ben Schwartz is fantastic. And his performance, especially in this scene with Knuckles on the beach, I think is one of my favorite scenes of the movie, where it's like, oh, okay, like, this is that sort of coming of age for Sonic, where it's like, yeah, he is learning how to actually be the hero and how to take responsibility for others instead of just running off half-cocked and thinking, oh, I'm gonna handle everything because I'm the fastest creature in the universe.
Yeah. He feels like a more completed version of what the Flash tried to do in the CW.
I don't know if I'd go that far, seeing as how, you know, the Flash has had 8 seasons, I guess. I don't know if I can call it more complete, but I do see the comparison. I do see where you're going for. I feel like it's a little bit of a different dynamic, just because, at least with the Flash on the CW, like, even though Grant Gustin just looks like a newborn babe, like, he is, like, a full-on adult man, so it feels like there's less hinging on the coming-of-age aspect of the story than there is more just coming to terms with his reality. Whereas with Sonic, it is almost like, not necessarily like a puberty thing, but it is, you know, in a lot of ways, a story about growing up, you know? And that's not something we get in The Flash. Although, both, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and all of The Flash, for better or worse, really leans into the whole, like, team and family dynamic. So there's definitely an equivalency there. But if we're talking about Sonic's family, you know, we got to spend more time talking about Tails. We got to talk about Tails. We got to talk
about Tails.
We got to talk about Miles Tails Prower, okay? Let's talk Tails. If we ain't talking Tails, I don't want to talk. All right? Tails is fucking great. He's adorable. He's smart. He felt the most Tails of all the characters translated from the games to the movies. Tails is the one who felt the most like, "Oh, this is straight up Tails." You know? Like, this is, and I think a lot of that does have to do with the fact that they got Colleen Shaughnessy as, you know, back as Tails. But even just in terms of, like...
It's also like his story is nearly identical.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm a huge fan of Sonic. I saw you defending your home and everything. And it's like, I got inspired too. I wanted to, like, try and be special too. So I used my machines and everything. And then it's like, it's like you were in danger. And I wanted to help.
Yeah. The story, the focus on gadgets, the intellect, like even just the Tails sense of humor and the way he relates to Sonic so immediately, even though this is the first time these versions of the characters have met, but you immediately, but it's like, oh yeah, they're best fucking friends now. Like they're ride or die. The scene in the after they have the little dance battle in Siberia, and then Tails goes to sleep in front of the fire, and Sonic puts the blanket on, then Tails puts his Tails over Sonic. I'm like, damn, y'all are tugging at some heartstrings right now. This is it's like I did not come to Sonic 2 expecting to cry today, but they came close.
They came close, and then they made you laugh with, like, the old lady hugging Sonic. I'm like, oh, no, run, Sonic, run.
That old lady, I need someone to watch her. Was that the same one who was knitting?
Yes.
I need someone needs to keep an eye out on her. She's up to something. She's knitting these creepy little handkerchiefs. She's cuddling this space hedgehog, which, side note, these Siberians, just real chill with alien life. Beating them in a dance battle. Yeah. Like, just, yeah, I mean, I don't, like, know who you're going to report it to, but it's still, like, they bounce back from that discovery shockingly well.
And then it's like, they see them start multiplying, and it's like, their first instinct is just to, like, oh yeah, let's go full on into this dance
battle. Yeah, they're so enamored by the performance that they're like, is this an invasion? Like, what's happening? Like, at worst case, they think these are just some furry children, in which case you would still ask, why are these children multiplying at such a rapid pace? But no, in going back to Tails, he was fantastic. A lot of people are saying Knuckles is their breakout for the movie, and there's definitely some credit to that. I think Tails might be mine if I have to pick one specific character, because I mean, Tails is the one that I really wanted to see, just because he's the one you expected to see from the jump. I mean, he's the one that shows up at the end of the first movie, so you're like, oh man, next one's gonna have Tails in it. Even before you know Knuckles is in it, you're like, oh man, fuck yeah, Tails, we're finally gonna get that Sonic and Tails, you know, like the fantastic bromance that we love. And boy, did they deliver. They delivered in a way that I think serviced Sonic's arc in terms of growing more mature and no longer being alone without it feeling like Tails was getting shortchanged. Like, they introduced Knuckles and Tails in this movie, and it felt like both got their due, which I wasn't fully expecting.
That is some great writing and balance that you can do, because most people, when they're introducing a new character, they want to focus on one, and the other one that they introduce is just like, oh, it's here for plot services.
Yeah. Nah,
this is like totally like their story, the story of how the three amigos come together.
Yeah. And I do think that, at least in terms of discussing like nuance and motivations, I do think Tails gets a little bit less than Knuckles does in that regard. But I think because they do such a good job of introducing Tails so early on as just, okay, he and Sonic are just together now, and that's it. And I'm sure there's a certain amount of it where it's just like, we just all just accept that already because we know what Sonic and Tails are supposed to mean to each other. So we're like, okay, yeah, you don't have to do as much work on this because we already want to accept them together. But even just the way, even without immediately getting into, you know, Tails' backstory and what Sonic means to him and all that, like, the way they immediately bounce off each other and that interplay they have already endears the characters to each other and to the audience, and I think it just works perfectly. So that way you can have more time, you know, looking over on Knuckles' side of things and like seeing like, oh, what's his motivation? Oh, he's a warrior, and he's like, you know, he's trying to get the Master Emerald, you know, and to avenge his tribe, like all that sort of thing. I think they did a really good job with that.
Yeah. I also do like the fact that, so one of the things that bothered me a bit in the Sonic games is that later on, Knuckles doesn't feel like an equal to Sonic. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of his introduction in Sonic 3 was that not only was he an equal, he is potentially stronger.
Definitely physically stronger.
Yeah, physically stronger, but also like with his skills and everything, he could overcome Sonic's speed and everything. In this one, you feel like that they're equals through and through to the end. And it's like, it's really great, especially when you see like both of them pulling out moves from their games. Mm-hmm. And it feels as though this is the culmination of all their skills and ingenuity trying to outwit each other until it's like Eggman finally does his betrayal move.
Yeah. No, 100%. Even before they inevitably team up, like you're saying, when they're going toe-to-toe and doing their individual moves on each other, like when they're fighting in front of the Master Emerald and Sonic is just doing the, like, bouncing Knuckles into the stairs. Just like, boom, boom, like boom, boom. It's like, this is fucking dope.
It was amazing. And that honestly, like, was like, oh, man, Sonic's going all out. We've never seen him break stone unless he's serious, so he's like all out now.
Yeah, it was great. But we gotta talk about the elephant in the room. That whole wedding B plot. you go first, because I feel like we're gonna have some different thoughts on it. So you go first.
Okay, I could have done without the wedding B plot. It's like if you just had it like literally like 2 minutes of this wedding B plot to actually happen. And I'm not even talking about the wedding itself, because that's integral to the plot. Like, that's the reason why Sonic doesn't have his family at the moment. It's the whole thing with Gunn and all the stuff and setting them up pretty elegantly, I have to say, because yeah, why wouldn't you keep an eye on the people who last saw the hedgehog? So all that is fine. But then we get this entire like detour where the sister gets these badass moments where she's like, oh no, I am going to take you down. You literally catfished me for, like, I don't know how long this movie is from the last one, but it's,
I think,
like,
it's less than 2 years.
Huh?
I think it, is it 2 years? It's at least, no, because Eggman says while he's on the planet, he's like day number whatever the hell. Like, I want to say he said like 230 something days, but also okay, my brain so is taking 2 years, so I don't know.
Okay, so let's say a year and everything. Sure. Which fast pace to get married.
Real quick, but hey, you know what, Drew? If Shamar Moore proposes to you, you're going to say yes.
True that. But like I said, it just feels like it's a detour we don't need. And we don't even know. Like, I think there's less probability that we'll actually get either of them in the second movie at all. Third movie at all. Or anything, and it's like, we don't care.
You don't think we're getting Tom and Maddie in the third one?
We might.
Let's say you're smoking some grass, bro.
Maybe there'll be the gun connection, so that way we can go to Space Colony Arc.
Bro, they are all living in their house right now. I'll be shocked if those two. I don't necessarily know how much of the sister and, you know, and her newfound husband will get in the next one, but I would be shocked if we don't get.
That's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, gotcha. I thought you were saying James Marsden and Tiga Sumpter as Tom and Maddie. I thought you were saying they wouldn't be back.
No. I meant the sister.
Gotcha.
And
okay,
her,
then yeah.
Hubby.
Yeah, 100%. I gotcha now.
Yeah, it's like, unless like they're used like as the gun connection to get into Space Colony Arc, I don't think they're gonna be back. And honestly, I actually can think of several ways that they don't even need to be here for the gun connection. So my whole thing is, I wish it was just taken out, or it was just like implied in the background, something else. We didn't need that whole spiel thing.
See, I agree that we didn't need it, but I sure did enjoy the hell out of it. Like, even from the beginning, it was like, oh, okay. Like, all right, they're going to a wedding. So that, I guess that's how we, you know, get him out of the way so Sonic can hang out with Tails and eventually Knuckles. And I had seen reviews beforehand, before I'd seen the movie, saying, like, there's this weird B-plot that, like, feel like we could do without, and they tie it back into the main plot later, but it's just, why is it there? So I went in expecting, like, okay, I'm sure this is going to be, like, you know, watching paint dry, like, let's get back to the Sonic stuff. I honestly was pretty entertained just by the whole dynamic. It gave me shades of Death at a Funeral, where, have you seen Death at a Funeral? Where James Morrison is on drugs and the whole family, like, at the funeral dislikes him. It reminded me that I was like, this is funny. I like James Morrison in anything. I feel like he's been, you know, acting for decades now, and we have yet to give this man the leading role he deserves, which is why I still want him to play Hal Jordan, but that is neither here nor there. I was pleasantly surprised when Shamar Moore showed up. I was like, oh, shit. All right. Did not expect that. You know, then they have their little volleyball thing and they're like, oh, they're going to be bros now. And I'm like, could this be Hal Jordan and John Stewart? You know, maybe. Who's to say? but, you know.
DC Sonic crossover.
Oh, man.
Actually, with all of the crossovers DC had, why isn't that one?
Well, because they don't want to see, the real hardcore Sonic fans don't want to see him lose in a race to the Flash. But, you know, whatever.
Come on, you know DC characters are nerfed for crossovers.
I mean,
heavily.
Who's to say? But no, the whole wedding plot, I'm like, okay, this is a thing that's happening. It's fine. It's entertaining. I like James Marsden. Every time he's on screen, it's great. As soon as they did the thing with the ring where, like, he took Little Girl's ring, I was like, oh, okay, so he's gonna accidentally put the Sonic ring there instead of the actual wedding ring. Great. So it was
I called that too.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I saw him, like, throwing a ring in the trailer, so I was like, I guess this is how we call back to that. We tie that in. That's good. The moment, though, when, like, Sonic interrupts the wedding and that's when they reveal Gunn and everything, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, I was already on board with the B-plot, unlike everyone else, but I was like, okay, now I'm definitely, like, this is relevant, because, you know, it's like you said, that's where they introduced Gunn. It's also where I realized that Gunn was an acronym. I was like, oh, okay.
You didn't know that?
I never really thought about it. I was like, oh, it's just a government group called Gunn. I'm like, all right, shit. that's a bit heavy-handed, but okay, cool. Like, let's fucking go. And the whole, like, sister going on a revenge mission, like, it was just fucking funny to me. I was like, you know what? Everything she's doing is making me laugh. When she, like, Tokyo drifts the golf cart into the stage and there's the explosion.
Just walks out.
I'm like, you know what? Queen shit. Like, fucking, you go get that no good son of a bitch. Like, make it happen.
It's like, if it was in any other movie, I think I would like it. It's just, I want to get back to the other stuff. Especially since, like, we were seeing Tails' gadgets. And the stuff he, like, hasn't used
yet. Yeah, weird that we got Tails' gadgets from someone else, not Tails himself. Aside from his little, like, translator or whatever.
And his gun. He used it in the final
battle. Well, he used it in the final battle. I mean, at that time, we hadn't yet seen it. But no, yeah, I enjoyed the wedding B-plot. I liked how it now ties him into Gunn. I agree with what you said, where it's like, I don't necessarily think that we'll get a whole lot of them in the sequel, like the sister and Shamar Moore. I mean, unlike you, I wouldn't be mad if we did. Because, like, you know, what do they got going on? I mean, Knuckles is supposed to be getting a spinoff, so maybe Knuckles can go live with them. And, you know, we can have some more fun stuff there. But yeah, no, I could definitely see them being the gun connection, at least to tie into everything that's going to happen, obviously spinning out of that fucking baller ass after credit scene that we will still talk about later.
I can't wait.
Oh God, that was really exciting. But no, yeah. So, all right. Now that we got the wedding, anything else you want to say about the B plot before we move on?
The boomerang was the best one for me.
Yeah,
I loved it.
That was pretty good. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, but that's about it.
She was like, I did not mean to do that, or I did not know it would do that. I was like, all right. Yeah, that's pretty good. But okay, now we got to talk about what we were all hoping we would see when they announced that Knuckles was also in this movie. Sonic and Friends, the final climax. Tails flying in on the plane with Sonic and Knuckles on either wing going up against the Death Egg. You're like, oh fuck yes. It's like, this is like, they're going to do it. It felt like an Avengers Assemble moment, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, all right, like, let's fucking go, dog. It's like, this is my childhood come to life. I'm fucking here for it. And it was great. It was the way they were choreographed moving together was fantastic. They actually worked as a team, you know, and used their skills
I also love how at first Knuckles just goes in on his own. It's like, and just tries to the whole Captain.
Yeah.
He does the whole Captain America thing off the plane, arms crossed. Whoa,
he's like, okay, he's shit, gone. Knuckles. And then next time you see him, he's just run like 3 miles and is going to try and punch a robot. I was like, oh, okay, Knuckles, I don't think that's going to work out for you. But, you know, he honestly did better than I expect him to. I thought he'd get like, you know, humbled or whatever. But no, like he met the robot like blow for blow for a bit. They're like, oh, okay, shit, Knuckles is terrifyingly strong for something that's 3 feet tall.
Yeah, that does make me ask something, though, because there was a whole thing that Sonic's powers were special in the last movie, and it seems like both Tails, to a lesser extent Tails, but definitely Knuckles has the power as well, and his is like power. Tails, I'm not sure what his power is. I'm guessing flight.
I think it's just flight, yeah.
And Sonic is speed and everything. I'm just wondering, it's like, when are these powers going to come into the forefront? Because it's like, they made a big deal about it in the first movie. It was like the entire thing. Now we know Knuckles has the power and Tails has the power, and it's like, they even mentioned they all have the power, and Shadow's coming in, and he's definitely gonna
have
the power.
Spoiler, bro.
Oh, come on. We've been hinting at it.
Spoilers, bro.
Gun, all of that.
I mean, Gun.
It's like, there's no way you...
That could have been,
like, that's all Shadow story.
No, that's the introduction for Amy Rose. Drew, everybody knows that.
The ultimate stalker.
The ultimate stalker.
True way to defeat Sonic.
I mean, do we think we'll get Amy in this franchise? That's the question.
Honestly, it's like, if we do, save it for the fourth movie. Because not appear.
Shit, bring her to the next one. I don't give a shit. Let's go.
I just feel like it would take away from Shadow's whole thing.
Probably.
Especially since.
Oh,
like,
here, hold on. We're jumping ahead. We gotta wait to talk about this after credits scene. Because I got a lot of where we want this to go, you know, all that stuff. So let's rate those. Get back to talking about this climax.
Yeah, so my whole thing is, like, do you think, like, the powers are gonna, like, be brought up in the next movie, or, like, if this becomes, like, a full-on franchise anytime soon?
I am not sure, because, I mean, I'll be honest, until you mentioned it right now, I kind of forgot it even was that big of a deal in the first one, and it seems like this movie also forgot it was that big of a deal. I think in the first one, they were just using that as a device to explain, why is this fucking hedgehog so fast? And in this one, it's like, well, we accepted that a hedgehog is fast. Well, this echidna is strong, and this fucking fox can fly. So you guys know Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, the end. Like, just have fun, you know? Like, I think with the first one, they needed it to justify the weird shit that we were going to see. And with Sonic 2, it's like, you've already seen the weird shit. You're into it. Let's just fucking go.
I can accept that.
Yeah. If they do go into more detail with it, I can't imagine it's going to be in the next one. Just because I feel like with Shadow, it is, you know, the space colony arc. Shadow, it feels like, I mean, aside from the big fucking monster in the in the moon, like, it feels like a more science fiction based story than it is like the mystical, like, oh yes, and Shadow's one of the chosen with the power, like, because Shadow, wasn't he like genetically engineered?
Yeah, it was revealed in Shadow the Hedgehog that he was engineered to be able to handle the power of chaos.
I was about to say, well, aren't there, like, there's stuff, like, 7 different endings of Shadow the Hedgehog, so, like, which one of them is canon, you know?
Well, the true ending, according to the game, is that he was genetically created from, what's his name, Dark Doom or something like that, the three-eyed guy, and he was created to initially actually bring out the Earth's destruction and the power of the Chaos Emeralds to them in their entirety and everything. And then it's like, Gerald actually, like, had him interact with Maria, so that way
Maria
the savior, in all actuality, because they were going to come anyway.
Okay. God, Sonic lore is so fucking weird.
Yep. Hey,
but yeah,
if you could accept a hedgehog using a gem to affect the boundaries of time and space.
I mean, shit. I mean, I'm not you know, I enjoy it clearly, so I'm not, you know, gonna knock it too much, but that's just weird.
Yeah.
But going back to the final climax, like, it really is just the moment when they're like, all right, we have to do this together, and they all, like, pose on the rock. Like I said, like, that felt to me the same way watching the first Avengers movie felt. Like, when they, you know, do the sweep where it's, like, all six of them in a circle and the music kicks in. It felt the same way, which, you know, less of a build-up, you know. It's not like we had four movies leading up to this, but it still felt like, okay, like, as someone who grew up playing the Sonic games, like, yeah.
It feels like a climactic
moment. Yeah, I mean,
have them on the big screen.
Yeah, you're like, oh, fuck yeah, like, this is something you only hoped for when they announced, well, I don't know how much you actually hoped for it, you know, when the movie was first, when the initial Sonic movie was first announced, because that was in development hell for years, then they put out the first trailer, and it looks like a monster, and you're like, I don't want to see any other character in this universe, please don't subject me to that. Then they fix it, and you're like, oh, okay, like, sure, yeah, I'd like to see the rest now.
Yeah, it's like they redeemed themselves, and
they redeemed themselves. What a glow up. Can we take a second? Not even just in terms of just the redesign of the character, but this is a movie that everyone, I mean, this is a franchise really, that everyone was like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Because everyone knows video game movies, almost always bad. And then they're like, hey, it's going to be Sonic in the real world. And you're like, what? How the hell is that going to work? Then they put out the first trailer, like, this is a monstrosity. And then the internet, for once, bullies something altogether. It wasn't just, you know, one side doing an annoying campaign with a hashtag, you know, that does get, you know, the non-toxic fans a pretty good movie, but burns a lot of bridges and goodwill. It was everyone uniting and saying, yo,
yeah,
this fucking sucks.
It's like, what were you thinking?
What were you thinking? Why would you, who okayed this? How many people okayed this? How many people do we have to angrily email because this thing looks awful and no one will see this? And now we're coming away from Sonic the Hedgehog 2 being like, yo, this is great. Can't wait to see where it's going. Like, the after credit scene's incredible. Like, we're all in on the Sonic ride. And that is not something that I think anyone would have predicted, what, like 6 years ago, 5 years ago, when the first one was announced.
Yeah, you're right, because it's like, initially, it's like, I remember, like, even as a hardcore Sonic fan, I was like, yeah, no, this is just bad.
Yeah, it's like, they're gonna screw it up. It's like, we don't want this.
It's like, it's like, normally I will accept whatever is put on my plate for franchises I don't think are gonna get that treatment to be on the big screen, or really any screen,
yeah,
for that matter, because Sonic has had a long time away from even the smaller screen.
True.
But it's like, then it's like, they found a way of coming back, and it was like, the next trailer came out, it was a Sonic that actually
looked like Sonic,
like the video game.
Even aside from looking like the video games, it's one that wasn't going to give children nightmares.
Yeah.
I think that's the important thing.
Sonic was definitely going to give nightmares.
Oh my god, it's Sonic. There is a part of me that's like, God, I want to know. I'm glad we don't live in this timeline, but I want to know what it's like in the timeline where that movie came out, but also still did well, because I'm very curious as to what all the other Sonic characters would look like in that art style.
Oh, so my idea is that Knuckles looks closer to his echidna self. He has no arms.
Oh my god. That's...
It's like Tails, he's a girl now, and they fully go into the Kitsune reference, where it's like a slender body and everything, and they try to make it a furry bait.
You know, I'm really glad, you know, you're just making me more and more glad we're not in that timeline. Anything else we want to say about the climax, though, just in terms of Sonic and
Knuckles
and Tails?
I'm sorry,
are we
not gonna... Oh,
just in terms of those, we got... Oh, trust me, we're gonna talk about the other thing, but just in terms of those three finally working together and uniting against Eggman and the Death Egg.
Really like that Tails gets to use his weapon... And
when,
his
you mean when he
strike.
Pulls that thing on him and just
when he pulls out the Glock, baby.
It's like, damn. Yeah. Like, I had no Tails with strap like that, but all right, shit.
He strapped
like that.
I'm going
to say, where's that in Sonic
tails,
Heroes?
Yeah, and he gets to use his tail whip as well. It's like, it's all so, it's so good. It's so good.
It's,
I love
it. It's pretty fucking good. It's pretty fucking good. But you know what else is pretty fucking good?
Yes, I do.
Motherfucking supersonic.
But I want you to say
motherfucking supersonic, bro.
Okay, you skipped over one thing before supersonic. It appears before supersonic.
Which
Come
part?
On.
Which part? Because I'm really
the
excited
egg
about supersonic.
Robot.
Yeah, the death the egg. I've been talking about the death
the
egg.
The death egg.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the death egg. The egg is the Death Star, but egg.
Oh, shit. You're right. You're right.
This is the egg bot.
The egg bot. And that's what it is. Thank you. Thank you. See, yeah. This is why we have Drew on, so I can be corrected on my Sonic lore.
Yeah. But it's like the egg bot. Oh my god.
It was fucking
like,
dope.
It looks
fantastic.
It looks so good. And they implied gave the mustache purpose. It's like, I'm sad it takes out the Tornado 1, but hey, I always was more of a fan of Tornado 2.
I was about to say, this means when we get the Tornado 2, it can get, we can finally have it be painted blue, like with his little
Tails logo
on the side.
It's like, can't wait for that. But it's like, I just love the death thing. It feels like the video game boss come back and everything.
It does. It does. It's fantastic. It's dope.
Okay. I've said that. Now let's go to
Now
Super
we
Sonic.
Can talk about motherfucking Supersonic. Bro! That shit was dope.
It was amazing.
It was,
it's like,
you knew what was gonna happen too. Like the moment Sonic starts getting his shit rocked, you're like, okay, I don't see how they're gonna beat the egg bot. Like, at least in this more quote unquote grounded world. You know, it's one thing in the games where it's like, all right, you just bounce around a lot and, you know, it's a video game, whatever.
But it's like they let Sonic be in a vulnerable position. They have the family moment.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you see the Chaos Emeralds grow and shrink into him.
Which side note, how the hell did Knuckles reform the Master Emerald without the Chaos Emerald? Because didn't the Chaos, after he de-supersonic, didn't the Chaos Emeralds like kind of fly off or some shit?
Yeah, it's normally how the Chaos Emeralds function. Like, initially they were kind of like the Dragon Balls. Mm-hmm. Once they're used,
yeah, that's what I thought. But then Knuckles just comes up, squishing the the Master Emerald back together. It's like, so, Chaos Emerald's back in there, Knuckles, or what?
Or is it empty?
Is it empty?
Do the Chaos Emeralds reform in there?
What's going on? That's some lore I'd like some background on. If the writers of the film could put something out to explain that to us.
Yeah, but I feel like they're gonna save that for the next movie.
Probably.
Especially since like they probably don't want like to redo the games where it's like, oh, you have to get all seven.
Yeah,
Chaos
that'd
Emeralds.
Be, you know, how many chases are we gonna go on in this franchise, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But back to Supersonic. Like, the heartfelt moment when he's with his family, it's like, oh, okay, like, yeah, I'm buying a bit more of this, like, family thing now. You think they're gonna die? And then, no. Boom. You see that fucking transformation, that gold light. You're like, oh, what is it? What could it be? Oh, we know what it is. It's fucking Supersonic. It's super, and he's just immaculate. He looks fantastic. The animation in this movie is just top tier. Like, shout out to the VFX people.
Definitely. The gold fur looks amazing.
Looks amazing.
The highlight that keeps flowing through him.
The red eyes.
And even like, yeah, the red eyes. It's like, ooh, they go straight into all of the points that make Supersonic just this menacing, but also like amazing transformation.
It's so fucking cool. When he just like tears the top off the egg by just running around it in circles.
My favorite part is like when it's the total Sonic move. It's like tap and the robot.
Oh, just the light kick. And Eggman's like, oh, it's like that, huh? Which, it's like, okay. Did Sonic just try and kill Eggman? Because.
I thought so.
I was going to say, because as he was falling, I was like, I know Eggman's going to survive because this is a children's movie, but.
Yeah.
He's a human being, and he's falling off the top of this robot, which is at least as tall as a building, and I don't think he's got
it's
a
like, I thought he only survived Knuckles' punch because of the Master Emerald.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay. Which, I mean, shit. We'll see him again in the third one, hopefully, but, you know, jury's still out. Agent Stone believes his true love is still out there, so who are we to argue?
I think Agent Stone, like, as far as everything we see, since he was knocked out when the Eggbot went over, Agent Stone is, like, pretty much the most durable human in the franchise.
He's
100%.
Agent Stone has definitely taken some damage. Who's to say? Maybe he's not even human. Maybe he's a robot that Eggman built, and like he's one of the robots from the original cartoon, and we just don't know yet.
Oh my god, he's Lex Luthor's lowest bot.
Don't bring that up. That's not I tell you what, the whole Black Ring saga, very, very good Lex stuff. That's not a part of it we need to address.
All right, I'll never bring it up again.
Never bring it up again.
It's an awkward moment for a ton of
for a lot of fans, myself included. Also, did not realize the power of Supersonic to manifest chili dogs out of midair. I would like that power.
But I think they buffed that. And also, now that I think about it, the few Archie comics I remember, it's like they did mention that chaos is the power, is three powers, to one to affect time and space. And another one that I don't remember, but the third one I remember, it's to grant wishes.
Oh, you probably wish for a chili dog then.
Yeah.
No.
And I do love that that's how they make you remember that Sonic is not like, this is not a Super Saiyan transformation. He hasn't lost his personality and everything.
Yeah. Although now I kind of want chili dogs. Will I get chili dogs for dinner? That is the question.
Me and my friends went out for chili dogs after the movies when we first watched it. It was like, yeah, there's no way we're going home without a chili dog.
See, I should have thought you that. Now, when I saw the first one, I did sneak a chili dog into the theater. So,
see, the first movie, we actually went to get donuts in honor of Donut Lord.
Ah, well, see, now, Drew, you're just making me hungry, King. Like, now I want donuts. But yeah, Supersonic was dope. The whole third act, like everything after Sonic takes off from the wedding and like runs across the ocean to the labyrinth, like everything after that, I'm like, all right.
Oh yeah, I never mentioned him running across the ocean. I love that.
That was dope. It was really cool.
Yeah, he goes in the whole flash stance where it's like, oh, it's time to go full speed.
What does he say, Drew?
Gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast. And you're like, fuck yeah, you do, bro.
Fuck yeah. And I do love, like, there's one thing that I've always wondered about super speed. How do you deal when you're not, like, fast enough to, like, just run completely up the tidal waves in a second? It's like, how do you deal with the tidal waves? Glad they dealt with that. I've always wondered
that. Well, it seems more like the tidal waves deal with you.
Point taken. Yeah. Point taken.
How do we feel about the way the movie wrapped up, though?
Felt like it was a little fast, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I can kind of see it going this way, because where's Knuckles gonna go? Where's Tails is like, he's totally Sonic's little brother now, so, like, feels like it fits, and they do say, like, they gotta protect the Master Emerald, it's their job now. Which points for not leaving Knuckles stranded on an island.
Yeah, that would've been, like, that been
always
rude.
Bothered me.
That would've been really shitty. And then you just leave him there until some inappropriately animated bat rolls up to... to make his life hard, really, you know?
Oh, in more ways than one.
Oh, all right, now, come on.
Knuckles and Rouge are we know it.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, these are animals. We're not going to make these kind of jokes about them, all right? We're not.
All right, fine. You
know, just saying.
Sonic already did that for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. Which, like, we don't, you know, no judgments to any listeners out there, but that's not the wave we're trying to ride. But no, I agree. I thought the ending was really sweet. I loved the baseball scene. It was like it felt real full circle from the beginning of the first movie. It's like, oh, he's just all fucking alone. He's playing baseball with himself, and now it's like, oh damn, like he's legit, like he's got a family now. Like it's not just that he's got his boys, but I mean, for intents and purposes, he has parents. Like he's got a whole little unit, which is, even when he was growing up with Longclaw, like that's not really something he had. It was just the two of them, and then he spends however many years totally alone. And it's like, oh, this is nice. It was sweet. It was heartwarming, dare I say.
Yeah, it's really sweet. And I do love how Knuckles jives with the others. He's still a little awkward. He's kind of still in his Drax phase, where it's like
big Drax vibes. Yeah,
but it's like, I also do like the fact that he's not like totally Drax. He still can figure some stuff out, and he's figuring out the metaphors and everything.
But that is definitely a good pull. I did specifically in that scene, I remember thinking, oh, he's got kind of Drax vibes, just like not as stupid. Yeah, it's really sweet though. Overall, I think it did, like, this ending did a good job of tying up threads, not just from this movie in terms of his, you know, maturity and not wanting to be alone, but even just, like I said, pulling back from the first movie, where it does feel like you can watch the first movie on its own, but these two movies together, it does feel like one big you know, arc, which is something you want in, you know, a continuing series. You want to feel these characters grow and change and evolve from movie to movie without it feeling necessarily like everything happens in a vacuum, you know?
Yeah. And like, it is good that they bring about the baseball feel, because it's like, that was the start of everything.
Yeah.
Like how Sonic pretty much started the whole story. Him just having a freaking panic attack, realizing he might be alone his entire life.
Yeah.
And then it's like, now it's like, he's calmer. He has friends to work out with. He has friends to like work his stuff out with and just have fun. And it's like, nobody's alone anymore. And that's kind of the thing I like. It's like the three of them, both all Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles, all three of them were alone. And it's like, now it's like, they all have people that they can rely on and each other. They're no longer going to be alone.
Yeah. Some sweet shit. All right, now we got to talk about that post-credit scene, because that was some sweet shit, bro. That was, oh my God.
It's like, okay, so I got to tell you, when me and my friends, we were driving down to the theater, and I was like, you know, what would it be cool if, like, in the end, if, like, in the ending, they tease Shadow?
Oh, man. It would be cool, Drew. It would be cool.
Yeah, and then it's like, when it happened, I actually jumped out of my seat. It's like, yo!
I had seen a leak online, like, just a video of, like, oh, the after credits seem shocked too. So I saw, like, a grainy version of it. I was like, oh, is that real? I was like, okay, that's cool. That's exciting. But then actually seeing it in theater, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, bro. Like, this is exactly what I need. Because when I first saw just the leak online, I'm like, okay, well, this movie may be bad and I might not want this, you know? I might not want them to tease Shadow, because then I'll be annoyed, because it's like, we're going to get a bad version of Shadow. But now after this, dare I say, banger of a fun family time, I am actively looking forward to Sonic 3. I'm actively looking forward to seeing Shadow. I really hope they adapt, you know, they pull from Sonic Adventure 2, because, again, as I mentioned earlier, my favorite Sonic game. Like, I need... Also, you know what? If we're pulling from Sonic Adventure 2, just have a random, you know, rap song every time Knuckles is doing anything. Just like in that game. And Idris Elba, he raps. He's a rapper, so get him to do it.
He does.
Get him to do it.
Here I come. Tougher than the rest of them. Best of them.
Let me get an Idris Elba Pumpkin Hill remix. That's what I'm asking for.
You know what? If they do that, they can sell that song for $5.
I'll buy it for $10 to hear the Fightin' Freak Knuckles. You ready? I'm ready. Okay. But no, here's my big question for you regarding Shadow in Sonic the Hedgehog 3 or whatever they're going to call it. Who do you want to voice Shadow?
Ooh, see.
Because I've been thinking about it.
I didn't think about it. Okay. I want to hear yours, because I need a second to think.
I want Keanu Reeves to voice Shadow.
That makes way too much sense.
Yeah. I need Keanu Reeves to voice Shadow. Especially after seeing the trailer for DC's League of Super Pets with Keanu Reeves voicing Batman. I'm like, this is perfect. I need this for Shadow. Just imagine Keanu Reeves saying, Maria. Shadow comes out of the cryostasis where it's like, everyone keeps asking me if I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. Imagine Keanu Reeves yelling chaos control.
Oh my God, that sounds so dope, though.
I rest my case.
Okay, I don't know who I can get besides Keanu Reeves.
Jason Statham. I don't know why. Just get
Jason
Statham as Shadow, just because it'd be fucking funny. It's like, oh, it's me. I'm Shadow the Hedgehog.
Actually, you know what? Just because he played Batman, Robert Pattinson.
You know what? Robert Pattinson seems strange enough that he would do it.
Yeah, it's like I feel like his voice would be a good Shadow voice, the same voice he used for Batman.
I could see it. You know, if we're just gonna get weird with it, Nick Cage, because why not?
Oh, why not?
It'd be fucking funny.
This one might actually go too far. Sebastian Stan.
Okay.
Bucky.
Okay. Well, I know who Sebastian Stan is. I could see that. A bit younger sounding than I was like, obviously, I think Sebastian Stan's like almost 40, but his voice has a younger. Yeah, he's in his 40s, I think, but his voice does have like a younger register. But I could see it.
And hey, Shadow is supposed to be eternally youthful.
That's true. I'm still pulling hard on Keanu, though. Like, I think that's my...
Honestly, yeah. It's like, if fans gotta vote, Keanu.
Keanu. It has to be Keanu. Because then we can get the Shadow the Hedgehog spinoff the movie with Keanu voicing Shadow. Like, that's what the fans want. It's me. I'm the fans.
Yes, it is.
But
so
yeah, go ahead.
So if he's if Keanu is playing Shadow in the spinoff movie, does that mean that Black Comet has to be played by Agent Smith?
I mean, I don't see why not. Hugo Weaving does a lot of, he likes playing bad guys. He voiced Megatron.
It's like Mr. Hedgehog.
Mr. Hedgehog. It's like, you were bred to be the embodiment of chaos, Mr. Hedgehog. It's like, all right, Hugo, maybe it's like, maybe tone it down a little bit, but you know, you're
turn it up to 11. Make this the Matrix Hedgehog edition.
You know what? I mean, hey, if that means we get Shadow doing some gun fu, I'd be interested in seeing it. But yeah, overall, great movie. It's a banger. You know what? What did they rate the first one? Were you on that retrospective?
I was not. I don't think I was there.
I don't think I was there for that. I definitely wasn't there for that one. What, just in off the top of our head, what would we rate the first one?
Okay, for Sonic the Hedgehog 1, I think I would give that one an 8. It has some small problems, but otherwise it is a great fun ride as well. And I love seeing it go forward. Especially since like both Sonic being his own character and Jim Carrey, these being like feeling like two characters, similar personalities, yet opposite ways of handling them.
Mm-hmm. See,
just love it.
I agree with your sentiments. I think just for me personally, I'd give it a hard 7. Like it was enjoyable, but it did feel very much like a kid's movie that just happened to have Sonic in it. Like it wasn't bad, and it's better than the majority of video game movies. I'm like, oh, okay, like it's fun. Yeah, I'd see the sequel, but I'm not like, oh my god, I can't wait. Not the way I'm feeling after this movie. So, Drew, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being just god-tier cinema, 0 just being absolute dog shit, and 5 just being, it's the movie. It's fine. It's middle of the road. It's not bad. It's competent. It is what it is. What are you ranking Sonic the Hedgehog 2?
I'd say a 9. I feel like it is, like, maybe I'm biased, but this movie not only gave me everything I wanted in it, it also like really made it just a fun ride that you could go into. And it's like, it really feels like that this was the movie that they truly made for the fans of Sonic. I'm a fan of Sonic, so.
Well, then you got what you wanted. I agree with everything you're saying. Again, though, I think I got to go 1 point lower. I'm going to give it an 8 because it nailed what it was trying to do. And I just don't necessarily know if what it was trying to do was for everyone. It was definitely for me and it was for you, but you know, and as much as I enjoyed the B plot, I can see the criticisms of, it's like, okay, this is like taking away a lot of, you know, what people want to see. Again, I thought it was entertaining, but I wouldn't have complained getting more of, you know, Sonic and friends. So that's why I'll give it an 8. Maybe I'm tempted to bump it up to an 8.5 just solely for the after credit scene. Cause that is one of the hypest after credit scenes, you know, I've seen in quite a while. Definitely beats most of the, would I put it above the most recent Marvel after credit scenes? I think I
honestly,
would.
Honestly, I would too. It's like the recent Marvel after credit scenes don't feel as hype as they did when they first started. Mainly because, like, I think for the Marvel after credit scenes, they're not only expected, but now I think they're like overdone and everything.
I get that. Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. So yeah, I would put this after credit scene above majority of the recent Marvel teasers. So I'm gonna, yeah. So you know what? Fuck it. Sonic Hedgehog 2, 8.5. So
nice.
Drew, as we wrap up, what are you working on and where can people find you?
Well, I am still working on the YouTube channel. A few projects got delayed, but gonna have some small stuff coming out. Actually, I can say one of the things I'm working on, I am trying to make for any Ben 10 fans, I am trying to make a Ben 10 Ultimates playlist with 10 aliens that did not get Ultimate Forms in Ultimate Aliens. So if you're a Ben 10 fan, like I won't have really good visuals and everything because I don't draw, like I can't, trust me, you don't want to see it, your eyes will thank you. But I will go into explanation about what they are. So, you know,
everybody,
food for thought, watch out for that.
Everybody get your Omnitrixes ready. You know what I'm saying? And where can we find you on the socials? You got the socials?
Oh yeah. You can find me at Drew Garrison_ on both Twitter and Instagram. And you can find my YouTube channel. It's called Fanfic World.
There you go. That's what we like to hear. As usual, you can find me on the socials at BackIssueBins on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And I'm still over at Screen Rant. You can go and give any of my articles over there a view. Like I said, every time I get paid per view.
They're great reads, and some of them have some hot takes.
They got some hot takes. Thank you for the compliment, but they do also have hot takes. I like to stir the pot. I like to piss people off, as you well know if you have listened to this podcast for more than, you know, a few episodes. So if you want to get in touch with us outside of our socials, Discord is the best way to get in touch with us for now. Please feel free, hop into the Nerdstash Network Discord. We got the links in the show. It's a great community, great people from all areas of the Nerdstash, and always down to talk about some nerdy stuff. Please consider dropping us a rating wherever you're listening. Really helps us out. And also, check out the latest episode of the Power Up and Game. It's our gaming podcast, where Riley Logue and Michael Mosley have a deep dive discussion about Tunic. I'm talking subterranean. That's how deep these dives are, y'all. So if you're a fan of Tunic, go give it a gander. And last but not least, check out the nerdstash.com, where you can get all sorts of news in the world of gaming, movies, television, and more. The Batman is heading to HBO Max on April 18th. Very exciting. So if you are one of those people who didn't check the movie out in theaters, feel free to check out our spoiler-free review over at thenerdstash.com to get you ready for that impending HBO Max release. Then, after you watch the movie, you can head on back here and check out our spoiler talk of The Batman right here on Nerds Talk Movies. It's a shameless plug. It was a great episode. We had a lot of opinions. So thanks, Drew, for joining me. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will be back next week with a retrospective on Rocky III. If you miss out on that one, I pity the fool.